Life with CIDP can be tough, but the Thrive Team, a specialized squad of experts, helps people living with CIDP make more room in their lives for joy. Watch Rare, Well Done.
An all-new reality series, Rare, Well Done, offers help and hope to people across the country who live with the rare disease CIDP. Watch the latest episode now, exclusively on RareWellDone.com.
There's a time and a place for Filet-O-Fish, but breakfast is for sausage biscuits. McDonald's breakfast comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
This message comes from Greenlight. Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on what your kids are spending with real-time notifications. Join millions of parents and kids building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get started risk-free at greenlight.com/iHeart.
Do you love true crime podcasts and true crime documentaries?
If so, you gotta check out our podcast, True Crime Obsessed, where we recap the true crime documentaries everybody's watching.
We say everything you're thinking and probably screaming at your TV.
We've been at the top of the podcast charts for almost 9 years, and we have over 400 episodes for you to check out right now.
We cover the cases everyone's talking about, and we also highlight the cases that have been underreported, overlooked, or forgotten.
With over 30,000 five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, if you've never checked out True Crime Obsessed, now's the time to give us a try.
Find True Crime Obsessed wherever you get your podcasts.
This is continuing coverage of United States versus Sean Diddy Combs from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
It all starts with a hotel hallway. No audio, just grainy surveillance footage. A man in a white towel storms out of a room. He happens to be Sean Diddy Combs. He's angry. He's moving fast. And then a woman, Cassie Ventura, we've all seen this, appears. He grabs her. She tries to get away. He throws her to the ground, drags her by her hair towards the room, kicks her. Then the footage cuts. That silent security video played for a jury in a federal courtroom was the first time most people saw what Cassie had lived through. But for her, it wasn't a breaking point. It was just one moment. And what she described as years of physical abuse, emotional control, and orchestrated denigration. The public saw it in that hallway in 2016. She says it was nothing new. It was routine. I mean, that's what he allowed people to see, knowing he was going to be in a hotel hallway when he was running out doing all that, knowing there's security cameras here. And he still thought to himself, oh, well, I'll pay this off. Nobody's going to find this out. And he did. And it went away for a little while. And then it came back. And it's biting him in the ass. And it's going to put him away for a very, very, very long time. We're going to break down all the testimony that Cassie Ventura gave in federal court this last couple of weeks. From start to finish, the testimony, the cross, everything. We're going to go through exactly what was said in court and why it matters for this case about against Diddy. In the comments on YouTube, I'd love to hear your thoughts on her testimony, where this case is going. Is this one enough? Just this one. There's several counts against Diddy right now, and there's a witness that is missing. Kind of a big deal. Yeah. But Cassie's there. Cassie's telling her part, and that's a pretty big count against him himself. So I think he's going down on at least one of these counts. After you see his behavior towards one woman, and you start hearing it about it against other women, kind of makes you start to think that, gee, maybe this is just how he treats women. Wild guess, isn't it? Let me know in the comments what you think. Press subscribe so you don't miss any of our coverage on this case and the many that we're following for you right here at the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. And if you want to follow the case strictly about Diddy, the downfall of Diddy, that is our podcast where it is all just specifically about Diddy it himself. So if you just want this case, That's the one to follow wherever you get podcasts. And of course, videos here all the time. So press subscribe in both places. So back to the testimony. Cassie testified that the result happened just days before, or the assault happened just days before she was scheduled to appear at a public event, one she couldn't miss. She told the court that she tried to avoid one of Diddy's so-called freak-offs. More on those in a moment, but he wasn't having it. Diddy had to have his way. He's a bad boy and he wants his way. Oh, poor Diddy. When she said no, she says he turned violent. That night she tried to leave the hotel. That's when the confrontation began, and that's when the cameras, well, lights, camera, action took place and caught him doing what he's doing. But the footage didn't show what came next. The injuries, the bruising, the swelling. Cassie told the court she had to take an Uber home alone, still shaken, and cover her black eye and split lip with makeup in time for the red carpet. A public version of her smiling, polished, perfectly posed was a lie. She knew it. She didn't have a choice. On the stand, she said the thing that finally drove her to testify wasn't revenge, it wasn't attention, it was exhaustion. I can't carry this anymore, she told the jury. What's right is right, what's wrong is wrong. And then she laid it out. Cassie testified this wasn't an isolated event, this was a pattern. She described years of being kicked, stomped, dragged across floors, and hidden away. I mean, just think of that for a second. Think of that for one iota of a second. If you described any aspect of your relationship, even for one second, being like any of that, and this was an ongoing thing for years, you shouldn't be in that relationship. But when you're coerced, when you're groomed from the age of 19, and then you have someone who is threatening you in every which way, not only with murder, but if he doesn't kill you, he's going to expose you with these videos. He's going to ruin your career. He has power. He has money. He has henchmen. How do you get away from that? That's not love. That's not somebody just stuck in a trauma-bonded relationship. That's coercion. That's threats. That's basically sexually enslaving someone. She recounted one incident in Las Vegas where the beating was so brutal, a bodyguard started crying when he saw her face. According to her testimony, Diddy kept her out of the public view until her injuries faded, until she looked presentable again. Damn. It'd be really hard to be that bodyguard, I think. It'd be really hard not to pull your weapon and just take Diddy out right then and there. If you saw somebody abuse another human being the way that Diddy has done to Cassie. I'm not even going to say alleged anymore. Look at the fucking video. He has. Be really hard. I'll tell you what, if I were Cassie's dad and that was my daughter, Diddy be dead. Diddy be dead. Diddy be off that balcony like he liked to hold women off of, emulating Suge Knight, which I think is really pathetic and funny at the same time. Jurors were shown photos of the aftermath, black eyes, split brows, welts across her cheekbone. She said that sometimes she didn't know what would set him off. Other times it was clear, a missed call, a perceived flirtation, a moment where she said no. She also talked about the freak-offs, a term Diddy allegedly coined for multi-day sex parties he forced her to participate in. According to Cassie, these weren't consensual. These were scripted events where she was expected to perform with male prostitutes while Diddy watched. Sometimes he filmed, sometimes he directed, sometimes he joined in. She said it got to the point where her life revolved around them. There was no normal, no routine, just preparation, performance, and recovery. It became a job, she told the jury. I had to recover from it just to feel human again. So again, think of this a little bit when it's like, can you separate the man from the music? Well, number one, Diddy doesn't have a whole lot of great albums by himself. So that's not all that difficult. Diddy's music always kind of sucked. It was pretty much the collaborations with other talented people that made it good. And he knows that. That's why he had to constantly say, I like this. But can you separate the two? I mean, people still somewhat listen to R. Kelly. People still listen to Michael Jackson. I'll admit I do. But these are hard facts and hard truths with video. Can you keep listening to the music if you liked it at one point in time? That's a big caveat, if you liked it at one point in time. Because again, I got to tell you, worked in radio for 20 some years in Top 40 when he was at the peak of his existence. And there ain't one Diddy album or Diddy song that was exclusively Diddy that's like a banger. Like you're going to keep out forever because it's just Diddy. No, it was all other people. I can't think of one song that was his alone that was like, this is a hit forever. I can't think of one where it was just him. Can you? Is there any Diddy song that's just him? Come With Me was okay. But again, it's a ripoff of the older song. The one where he samples Sade, which is another song that's actually sampling Sade, the, what the hell was it? Satisfy You. There's no original material from Diddy. It's always on the back of somebody else, if you notice. Anyway, I digress. There's a clinical numbness in the way she described it, like she's rehearsed it 1,000 times in her head before saying it out loud. That didn't make it any less painful to hear. She said she didn't fight back because she knew what would happen if she did. She testified that Diddy's control wasn't just physical, it was psychological. She told the jury that she had people follow her, that he tracked her phone, that if she didn't answer his calls immediately, he would bombard her with messages and threats. Sometimes he'd show up unannounced. Sometimes he'd send others to do it for him. And when she did what he wanted, she said she was rewarded with affection, a trip, a gift, a rare moment of peace. And that was always temporary. She described it like a cycle: abuse, regret, apology, honeymoon. And then back to abuse over and over again. Cassie told the court she didn't go to the police because she was scared. She believed he could destroy her if he wanted to. I understood Sean's capabilities, she said. His access to guns, the threats that he made, what he could do. The courtroom, by most accounts, was silent as she spoke, not just listening, but gripped. This wasn't a tabloid story anymore. This wasn't gossip or speculation. It was testimony. It was evidence. And none of it was easy to hear. She described being hidden in hotels for days, isolated until her injuries faded. She talked about the fear of not knowing what version of him she'd get on any given day. She painted a picture of a man whose power wasn't just in his fists or fame. It was the ability to make her feel like she had no choice but to comply. According to Cassie, even leaving wasn't safe. She testified, on the few occasions that she tried to pull away, things escalated. His threats became more specific, his anger more volatile. She said she stayed not because she wanted to, but because she feared the cost of leaving would be worse than the cost of staying. And so she stayed. Until now. Now, years later, she sat in the courtroom, pregnant, under oath, and no longer silent. And she walked the jury through her story moment by moment, year by year. She didn't flinch. It wasn't just a physical violence that stood out in her testimony. It was the sense of imprisonment. The way she described losing her sense of self, of becoming someone whose body no longer belonged to her. Someone whose silence had become its own form of survival. She didn't cry through most of her testimony, at least not publicly, but reporters in the room noted her voice cracking. She said, and they said that they saw her wipe away tears sometimes when she talked about the aftermath. The shame, the humiliation, the feeling of being watched, used, discarded. And the way to finally saying it out loud. By the end of that day, it wasn't just a case about celebrity or scandal. It was about reckoning, a raw, unfiltered look at the inner life of a woman who says she was groomed, controlled, beaten, and broken, then forced to smile for the camera like none of it ever happened. Her testimony wasn't about the headlines. It was about what those headlines missed. The bruises you don't photograph, the moments you don't film, the violence that doesn't leave scars on the outside but hollows you out from the inside. Now, with that foundation laid, the courtroom was bracing for what came next, because After 4 days of direct testimony, it was the defense's turn to speak. There's an art to cross-examination. It's not always about disproving the witness. Sometimes it's about creating just enough doubt that the jury starts to hesitate. Sean Combs' legal team wasn't trying to erase what Cassie said. How could they after that video? Instead, they tried to reframe it, twist it, suggest that maybe what looked like abuse was actually a complicated love story, you know? Satisfy you. Maybe she wasn't a victim. Maybe she was a willing participant, bitter about how it all ended. It must be, right? Because when your partner stomps on your head, what else could it possibly be? That was the tone the defense took when Cassie returned to the stand for the third day of testimony. After 2 days of lying out her story, this was the counterpunch. Combs' lead attorney, Anna Estevo, wasted no time. She went straight to Cassie's own words, text messages, emails, old conversations, dredged up and displayed in court. The goal was to prove that Cassie was enforced into the so-called freak-offs, but enthusiastically agreed to them. She liked them, asked for them, enjoyed the attention, and they had receipts. One of the first exhibits was a 2009 exchange where Combs texted, "When do you want to freak off, LOL?" And Cassie replied, "I'm always ready to freak off." Another message had her saying she wanted things to get uncontrollable. On paper, it didn't exactly sound like someone in fear for her life. Estevo didn't just read these messages aloud. She made Cassie read them in a packed courtroom under oath with cameras and sketch artists recording every twitch. I should say cameras, no. There was no cameras in there. Sketch artists, let's stick with that. Recording every twitch of her jaw, every flicker in her voice. Cassie read those texts out loud. You could feel the discomfort in the room, paused at some of them, visibly shaking, asking for breaks. But she kept going. Then she explained they were just words, she told the court. It was easier to pretend than to be punished. Cassie didn't deny the messages. She didn't claim they were fake or taken out of context. What she said was that she played along because saying no was dangerous. Because if she made it seem like she was into it, maybe she wouldn't get hit that day. Maybe the night would end without bruises. She called it damage control. A way to get through it without provoking another explosion. Survival is really what it is. This wasn't a case of memory gaps or selective forgetting. She remembered it all, and she did not flinch from the contradictions. Cassie said she learned quickly that resistance made things worse, so she adapted. The messages, she explained, weren't consent. They were a survival strategy. That explanation may not have been satisfying for the defense, but it landed with a certain weight, especially coming from someone who had already shown the jury what those punishments looked like. But the defense wasn't finished. They moved on to the days after the 2016 hotel assault. The one caught on video. They pulled up text messages from just days later, showing Cassie and Diddy exchanging tender messages, planning a vacation, saying, "I love you." Why, the defense asked, would someone go back to their abuser? Why would you keep saying you love him? Why not run, go to the police, blow the whole thing open? Ask anyone who's ever been the victim of abuse why they didn't just expose the abuser. Well, ask someone who doesn't have Diddy as their abuser. Ask someone who has, you know, Daryl Fucklemuck, who's just a complete idiot a-hole that is high on meth every day and abusing the crap out of his partner, who stays. Ask her why she doesn't run. Ask her when that person who you think really doesn't have much power, ask why that person thinks that person has power. Ask about the abuse they've endured. Ask about the threats they've received. Ask about how they have been so belittled in their mind that they feel that they have no way out of this situation. Or if they have kids, they're protecting the kids. Of course, the defense attorneys know this. They're just doing their job. God, at the end of the day, you got to go back and sleep at night. And know that you just were asking the woman who you just saw get crap beaten out of her by a man who we all know is a serial abuser
Why didn't you just leave?
Well, how about this? How about we put you in the hotel room with Diddy? We'll let you go through it for a couple years, and then you tell me why you just didn't leave. I know. It's how it works. They got to do their job. I have good friends that are defense attorneys. I get it. It's just enraging when the evidence is there. So Cassie's answer, why didn't she leave? It was sharp, because that's how abuse works. In parentheses, you effing morons. Okay, she didn't say that part, but I'm sure, you know, you're thinking that. She talked about the cycle, how after every blow-up came an apology, a moment of calm, gifts, promises, affection. She said she wanted to believe it could be different, of course. That maybe if she stayed quiet, played along, did what he wanted, it wouldn't happen again. But it always did. The defense shifted gears. If they couldn't make Cassie look like a liar, maybe they could make her look like a jealous ex. They pointed to the fact that Combs never acknowledged her publicly as his girlfriend, even while dating other women, that he continued seeing the late Kim Porter while still involved with Cassie, that he had other partners, always had, and that Cassie, despite this, stayed. Does that work out well for you for the defense, just really showing what a philandering POS Diddy is? Oh, this makes him look better. The implication was clear. She didn't leave because she didn't want to. She stayed because she was still in love with him. And when it ended, she was bitter. Or she had her head stomped on and said enough. One too many times with a head stomping. That to me is just like, if you're going to stomp on someone's head, I think you have to, in your mind, assume you may kill them at that moment. Because if you do, that's murder right there. You're really kind of taking a gamble, aren't you, if you're stomping on someone's head? Sorry if this seems crazy to me. I've never had the opportunity or the desire or will or ever had it cross my mind to stomp on someone's head. Believe me, if Diddy was down there, might give it a shot. Cassie didn't deny being hurt. She didn't deny wanting to be his priority. But she said what cut deeper wasn't just infidelity, it was hypocrisy. That she was expected to be exclusive while he wasn't, that he punished her for things he did openly, that he lashed out when she tried to explore her own independence. Which brings us to Kid Cudi, or Cudi. The courtroom got quiet when the name came up around 2010 during a brief separation from Combs. Cassie started dating the rapper. It lasted less than a month, and according to Cassie, Combs found out and made threats. Shortly after that, Kid Cudi's car exploded in his driveway. Oh, yeah. And Diddy had threatened to blow up his car prior to the car blowing up. Coincidence? Cassie testified that she believed the two events were connected, that she ended things with Cudi because she was afraid of what Combs would do. The explosion, never officially tied to Combs, hung in the air like a warning. Nobody needed to say it out loud. The implication was enough. Then there was the Chris Brown incident, or rather the rumor. Cassie told the court that one night at a club, Combs accused her of dancing with Brown. She says it never happened, but that didn't matter. He was enraged, jealous. He didn't need proof. Just the idea was enough to trigger a meltdown that maybe Cassie's going to go to another abusive male and be controlled by him, because, you know, she's able to do it with you. And unfortunately, victims of abuse end up repeating their own patterns of who they go to. Hope that she's broken that by now. It looks like she has. This, Cassie said, was her reality. Constant suspicion, surveillance, accusations. She testified that Combs took her phone regularly, read her messages, questioned every contact, even imagined ones. The court, already heavy with tension, hit another wall when the prosecution pushed back on how the defense was handling the cross-examination. Cassie had been on the stand for hours. The defense, they argued, had gone far beyond the scope of what was necessary. They accused Combs' lawyer of filibustering, deliberately dragging out the questioning, flooding the court with hundreds of exhibits at the last minute to buy time and wear Cassie down. And the judge agreed. By Friday afternoon, he'd had enough. He told the defense to wrap it up, and they had exceeded the time the prosecution had used by a wide length. The last-minute documents weren't going to delay proceedings any further. Cassie was excused. She would not be back until the next week. And as she stepped down, reporters noted that she looked physically and emotionally drained. Not performative, not theatrical, just done. She wiped her eyes, held her stomach, and walked out of the courtroom. No grand exit, no triumphant headline, just the end of 4 days that had pulled every piece of her story into the open. The defense had thrown everything at her, texts, flings, reconciliations, contradictions, and still she did not crack. She didn't try to sanitize her story. She let the mess sit, let the contradictions breathe. And in doing so, she gave the court what many called the most composed and devastating testimony they'd ever seen. And quietly, she was gone. And Diddy was left. Left to deal with the aftermath of his bad boy, in air quotes, behavior. I go with more like sadistic, evil, maniacal devil on earth behavior. Bad boys jaywalking. This is like, you probably shouldn't be breathing the same air the rest of us are. You're polluting too much with your carbon monoxide. We gotta kick you out of this planet. I'm sorry. So that was Cassie's testimony in the trial of Diddy. Your thoughts, please, in the comments on YouTube, on X, Twitter, whatever social platform you may be seeing this on. Be sure to press subscribe, too, so you don't miss any of our coverage on this case, because there's still a lot to come. Wherever you're listening, press subscribe. Whether you're watching us there, press subscribe. If you want just the Diddy case itself, we have a podcast for that, The Downfall of Diddy. That is us right there. We had it before TMZ started using the title, but it's like an easy title to use. I'm surprised no one else used it first. Anyway, please do subscribe. Let me know your thoughts. This is a case that, if you're like me, it just gets to you. Gets you that somebody could be that cruel, that horrible, that evil. But it's out there. It is out there. And he needs to account for it. I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
The latest true crime stories, expert breakdowns, and shocking twists all in one place. Press subscribe now to the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
Love true crime podcasts and true crime documentaries?
If so, you gotta check out our podcast, True Crime Obsessed, where we recap the true crime documentaries everybody's watching.
We say everything you're thinking and probably screaming at your TV.
We've been at the top of the podcast charts for almost 9 years, and we have over 400 episodes for you to check out right now.
We cover the cases everyone's talking about, and we also highlight the cases that have been underreported, overlooked, or forgotten.
With over 30,000 five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, if you've never checked out True Crime Obsessed, now's the time to give us a try.
Find True Crime Obsessed wherever you get your podcasts.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Confused on where to start with weight loss medication? See the lowest prices available with or without insurance for Wegovy, Zepbound, and more at TryLifeMD.com. 95% of LifeMD patients said starting their weight loss journey was simple. Listen to Tara's story after losing 42 pounds.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. I had gone from 237 to 195. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
Get your free insurance benefits check in minutes right now at TryLifeMD.com. Nearly 96% of patients said they would recommend the LifeMD program to anyone who wants to lose weight. Get started right now at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
This is an ad by BetterHelp. Workplace stress is now a leading cause of declining mental health, with 61% of the global workforce feeling it more than ever. You can't escape work, but you can take small steps to take care of yourself. A walk, some sun, a favorite song. Therapy is one of those steps. ongoing support to build resilience for whatever your day throws at you. Balance is tough. Getting help shouldn't be. Visit BetterHelp.com today to get 10% off your first month.
Do you love true crime podcasts and true crime documentaries?
If so, you gotta check out our podcast, True Crime Obsessed, where we recap the true crime documentaries everybody's watching.
We say everything you're thinking and probably screaming at your TV.
We've been at the top of the podcast charts for almost 9 years, and we have over 400 episodes for you to check out right now.
We cover the cases everyone's talking about, and we also highlight the cases that have been underreported, overlooked, or forgotten.
With over 30,000 five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, if you've never checked out True Crime Obsessed, now's the time to give us a try.
Find True Crime Obsessed wherever you get your podcasts. Love true crime podcasts and true crime documentaries?
If so, you gotta check out our podcast, True Crime Obsessed, where we recap the true crime documentaries everybody's watching.
We say everything you're thinking and probably screaming at your TV.
We've been at the top of the podcast charts for almost 9 years, and we have over 400 episodes for you to check out right now.
We cover the cases everyone's talking about, and we also highlight the cases that have been underreported, overlooked, or forgotten.
With over 30,000 five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, if you've never checked out True Crime Obsessed, now's the time to give us a try.
Find True Crime Obsessed wherever you get your podcasts. Love true crime podcasts and true crime documentaries?
If so, you gotta check out our podcast, True Crime Obsessed, where we recap the true crime documentaries everybody's watching.
We say everything you're thinking and probably screaming at your TV.
We've been at the top of the podcast charts for almost 9 years, and we have over 400 episodes for you to check out right now.
We cover the cases everyone's talking about, and we also highlight the cases that have been underreported, overlooked, or forgotten.
With over 30,000 five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, if you've never checked out True Crime Obsessed, now's the time to give us a try.
Find True Crime Obsessed wherever you get your podcasts.
This message is sponsored by Greenlight. With school out, summer is the perfect time to teach our kids real-world money skills they'll use forever. Greenlight is a debit card and the number one family finance and safety app used by millions of families, helping kids learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely. Parents can send their kids money and track their spending and saving, while kids build money confidence and skills in fun ways. Start your risk-free Greenlight trial today at greenlight.com/iHeart. That's greenlight.com/iHeart.
Do you love true crime podcasts and true crime documentaries?
If so, you gotta check out our podcast, True Crime Obsessed, where we recap the true crime documentaries everybody's watching.
We say everything you're thinking and probably screaming at your TV.
We've been at the top of the podcast charts for almost 9 years, and we have over 400 episodes for you to check out right now.
We cover the cases everyone's talking about, and we also highlight the cases that have been underreported, overlooked, or forgotten.
With over 30,000 five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, if you've never checked out True Crime Obsessed, now's the time to give us a try.
Find True Crime Obsessed wherever you get your podcasts.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Do you love true crime podcasts and true crime documentaries?
If so, you gotta check out our podcast, True Crime Obsessed, where we recap the true crime documentaries everybody's watching.
We say everything you're thinking and probably screaming at your TV.
We've been at the top of the podcast charts for almost 9 years, and we have over 400 episodes for you to check out right now.
We cover the cases everyone's talking about, and we also highlight the cases that have been underreported, overlooked, or forgotten.
With over 30,000 five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, if you've never checked out True Crime Obsessed, now's the time to give us a try.
Find True Crime Obsessed wherever you get your podcasts.